The Town That Wasn't Anymore. Wilton Jacobs was a good sheriff. He had to be. Though Pine Hall Bluff was a sleepy, quiet little town, it required a certain amount of finesse to keep straight, a quality Wilton had acquired watching his father, Michael, the previous sheriff, keep the peace. He was an unassuming man, and you wouldn't think much to look at him outside of his uniform. Stout, pasty, a weak hairline eroding his widow's peak a little each day. But when he put on that star and hat, you could see it in his eyes. A determination, an unflappability. He never lost his temper, never let anyone get the better of him. And if somehow you did manage to elicit a glare from him, he didn't have to say a goddamn word. His eyes did all the talking. "I'm not moving from this spot," they said. "You are." Pine Hall Bluff was an old mining town nestled high up in the mountains of West Virginia, surrounded on all sides by trees as far as the eye could see, deep and otherwise undeveloped country that had seen its fair share of tragedy and death. The roads were mostly dirt and gravel, with only a handful of paved ones all meant for hauling ore, each winding around through hills peppered with shacks and cheap mid-century company houses. The local mine had been closed for years, not for lack of coal, but for the death of some 227 miners it had claimed in a collapse that broke the back of the town and sunk Coulson Coal, the company that owned it, into bankruptcy. There were few living in Pine Hall Bluff that didn't have kin down that mine, and fewer still that didn't lose someone in the subsequent chaos. But that was all a long time ago. Michael had been sheriff then and Wilton just a deputy still wet behind the ears. Most people up and left after that, said they couldn't abide living in a town cursed like it was, but those that stayed carved out what life they could. The town had started with a population of around 3,500. Now, there are only a few dozen souls left. Wilton sat in his truck at the top of Old Miller's Hill, sucking at the end of a filterless Pall Mall, ashing out the driver's side window, looking down into the valley as the sun crept closer and closer to the edge of the world. Sometimes he daydreamed that the mountains were teeth, and one night they might snap shut, the mouth of the world swallowing whole the town, the valley, and all the shit that came with it. But he was never that lucky. The maw of the world gaped wide into the heavens, leaving everything just where it was. Every day the sun rose and the town was still there, a burden his father had left to him, a responsibility he couldn't bear to abandon. It was a town in name only, a smudge on the map that led to nowhere at all. And he was the law, what little that still meant out here. With each passing moment, the sun sank closer to the horizon, and with it Wilton's heart into his stomach. He hated sunset. The days in Pine Hall Bluff were quiet, easy, peaceful. It was the nights that were trouble. They were a different kind of quiet. A nervous quiet. A dead quiet. The kind where even the forest shut up lest it disturb the dead. The truck's police radio crackled to life, a burst of garbled static like a cough drowning out distant whispers. Wilton picked up the handset, pressed the button.
"Go for Jacobs."
There was no response. He stared at the radio, waiting to see if there was another burst, turning up the volume a bit to see if there was anything behind the low hiss of the open channel.
"Go for Jacobs."
Nothing. Looked like it was going to be a quiet night. He stabbed out the butt of his cigarette in the ashtray before turning the key in the ignition. It was time to make the rounds. Twilight was only going to last so long. Father Jeremy Paddock hadn't always wanted to be a priest. The son of a North Atlantic fisherman, he spent his youth on trawlers drenched in frozen mist, the cold seeping in so deep it made his bones brittle. But when a long line went the wrong way, taking three fingers of his left hand with it, he was saddled with the choice between working below decks in the freezer or finding something else to do with his life. He always told people that at the end of the day, he was happy he lost half a hand because it was what brought him to God, that he was the very model of the Lord working in mysterious ways, that as he sat alone in the dark of the night in that hospital staring at half a hand, he started to ask God why, and God whispered back. He had a calling, and it took tragedy to find it. But now that he'd stood before his Maker, stared him in the eye and saw the breadth of his creation, Father Paddock would much rather have had his hand back.